Don't Give Up Radio Show with Jackie Wayans. Inspiration through word and song for you.
Though your world is torn apart and you're left with a broken heart and you feel that there's no real healing inside. Oh no, but this I know. You cannot feel it, just believe it. He'll make everything. He'll make it all right. He will make it all right. Oh.
Yes, he will. He will make it all right every single time. You are listening to Don't Give Up Radio Show. I am your host, Jackie Wayans. So happy to be with you again, once again, another week. And this show is designed to encourage you through word and through song. And, you know, it's about overcoming the obstacles that we all face in our lives. But I was reminded today that it's not only that, it's also the ability to reach our goals, reach that destination that God has put into our hearts and into our minds. Now, if you like what you hear tonight, please be sure to find me on Facebook and look up Don't Give Up Radio and just give us a little like and a little check. We're going to start tonight off with a very special guest, Ryan Napier, who I came across because of Stevie Sykes. If you remember, he was on the show a few weeks back. And Ryan actually did a collaboration with Stevie, and I was able to listen to your music and hear the production and hear the lyrics. And I thought, you know, I'd love to have you on the show, and we spoke a little bit. We're sharing the airtime tonight with Ryan. Welcome to the show. I'm really glad to have you.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, it's definitely always a privilege to meet new people and to be able to get your story out there and to say what the Lord is doing in your life. And what I really enjoyed about talking with you is that in many regards, you are what we would call, quote-unquote, a regular guy, you know, who's using the gifts and the abilities that God has given him to make a difference in this world. So talk to us a little bit about your music, the CD. How did you come up with the title? You know, tell us a little bit about it.
All right. The CD is entitled Perfecting Holiness, and you know, it's a pretty strong title, I know, but it's talking about how we as humans, you know, are able to live holy, and that it's just not, you know, it doesn't happen overnight. There's a process that you have to go through in order to be what God wants you to be. And so, you know, that's the gist of the CD.
That's definitely true. And in one of the tracks, Keep Moving, you know, you develop that concept. Talk about that song and what you're trying to get across in that message.
Right. Keep Moving is aimed towards to all of us in the world and in the church to let us know that no matter what we're going through, that we have to keep moving. You know, tests and trials are going to come. You know, it doesn't matter what we go through, we know that God is able to help us if we just keep moving, you know, keep on pressing towards the mark and keep on, you know, working towards God, working towards God, because we know that with him, we can make it. We can do all things through him. So that's what that song is about.
Okay, so, well, let's take a moment and listen to that right now.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Thank you.
Here to encourage you to keep moving when you're feeling down, when you feel like you can't take another step. You got to keep moving. You got to keep your eyes on the finish line, even when it's bitter and even when it's difficult. And Ryan, you know, you're not only singing these songs, you actually are a minister as well, right?
Right, that's right.
Talk to us a little bit about you know, the way that you personally draw closer to the Lord.
You know, you got to pray. I mean, prayer is essential, you know, as far as getting close. And that's as close as you can get to God. You know, you're praying. You know, the Bible talks about, you know, pray without ceasing. And so that is, you know, essential in getting close to God. And, you know, when I'm in prayer and, you know, sometimes songs come, sometimes you don't feel like praying. Sometimes you just don't feel like doing it. But it's important. You have to do that in order to, you know, to be close to God.
Can you share a time in your life where you knew that you had to draw closer? You know, we talked earlier and you talked about growing up in church and that, you know, not always necessarily being the place you wanted to be, but it was the place that you were and you were very comfortable with that world. But there does point in time when we have to draw closer for ourselves, whether that comes because poor decision making. So I just wanted to get a sense, you know, what was it for you?
Okay, like you said, I grew up in church, you know, pretty much since the day I was born. You know, I've always been in church. But, you know, when I began to grow up, you know, I started to see certain things that, you know, in the environment that I was in, you're saying that, you know, there's people always say they're, you know, in church and they're supposed to be doing this, they're supposed to be doing that, that really aren't doing what they're supposed to be doing. And, you know, as I began to see that and grow up, it was kind of damaging to me, you know, and it made me really, you know, question some things like, how is this even, you know, how is this even happening? How can this happen? So, you know, as I began to see these things, you know, I almost began to give up as far as maybe this is not what needs to be done. Maybe church, you know, is overrated. Maybe, you know, there's nothing to it. But me knowing that I've been, you know, rooted and grounded, you know, with God, that, you know, there's a God out there, and it would have been just totally wrong for me to just give up on God as, you know, as a whole. So at that point in my life, I realized, you know what, I'm going to, whatever it takes, you know, I'm going to find what I need. I'm going to get closer to God so that I know, you know, and find somebody, you know, find something that's right, where people are actually living like they're supposed to be living, as opposed to living double lives, you know, and it inspired me to make sure that
I'm not living a double life, you know, that I am actually living what I'm saying I'm living.
Yeah, you know, that's the important point, especially going back to the title of your CD, when you're talking about perfect holiness. It's not out of our own efforts to try to achieve perfection, but it's
right.
relying on the Holy Spirit of God, who is perfect and dwelling and living
exactly.
in us. And as we
right.
yield and become more and more dependent on him, and it really is more about giving up yourself and allowing him
exactly.
to have his way. And
that's
as
right.
you, like you said, you go into prayer and you're reading. But the prayer is that intimate piece. I'm really liking the fact that you focus in on the prayer, because that's what draws us near. And our lives get so busy and so hectic that oftentimes we don't take the time to do that enough. Ryan, the
right.
CD is out. Can you just tell people where they can get their hands on it and where they can find you?
Yes, right now my website is under construction, but you can go to www.bandcamp.ryannapier, or you can just Google it as well. Perfecting Holiness, and it's online for $12.
Okay, great. And if anyone didn't get that, that's Bandcamp, BANDCAMP. I was on that website today. I just found out about it. So that's pretty cool. And like I said, the production on this is really good, and the lyrics are really strong too. Let's go out on Closer, and hopefully we can have you on longer at another point or collab in another way. But it actually, because of being on your SoundCloud page, I was able to come across our next artist who's waiting to come on right after you. So let's listen to Closer, and when we come back, we'll be with Angie Cleveland.
I need to feel your grace and your
Don't Give Up Radio Show with Jackie Wayans. Inspiration through word and song for you.
And we are back. That was Ryan Napier, Closer, from his Perfect Holiness CD. You can find him on SoundCloud. There's some really good stuff on there. And I'm really glad that I was on the SoundCloud, because as I was sharing and listening to his music, I ran across a young woman by the name of Angie Cleveland, and I was just struck by this smooth jazz-styling voice that was coming across so compassionate at the same time and so telling. And I thought, you know what, I want to have her on the show as soon as possible. And thankfully, I was able to catch you before you start your whole international tour. Welcome to the show, Angie.
Thank you. It's an honor to be a part of it.
Well, I'm so glad that we can make it happen, because I do know that you're headed out and you're going to be leaving soon. And there's a lot to cover, because, you know, this is your sophomore project CD, Prophetic Worshippers. And you also have a book that says, Now I Know Why I Suffered. And those things are so crucial and so key to this show. I designed Don't Give Up Radio to encourage those who have gone through or are going through difficult moments in their lives, who have had setbacks, who feel the press, and sometimes you don't think you can make it past that mark because it's so overbearing. It is so difficult. But I want this show to encourage people to know that they can overcome, and stories like yours, real histories of what God has done, is really key to, I believe, encouraging people from the next moment, one moment to the next, because they'll know that they're not alone, that if you could have gotten through it, and God is no respecter of persons, then they can get through it too. So I'm gonna go all the way back to your first CD. Share with us the title, and share with us the burden that was on your heart. It was really more cathartic in terms of what you were trying to get out at that time. So tell us about the CD and what it was coming from, the place that it was healing and touching.
Yes, you're talking about The Ministry of a Broken Key?
Yes. Love that.
Yes, that album was a musical culmination of a 10-year healing process that I had to come through, because at 16, I was raped and brutally beaten by my biological father. And so every song that's on that album is a very real culmination of a lot of the process that I had to come through. And then the actual book, Now I Know Why I Suffered, is the more in detailed version of that healing process as well. So at the time when I recorded that album, same issues, he was delivering me from value issues. He was delivering me from, he was helping me to find my identity, and all of these different things. And one of the main lessons that I learned in this whole process was how to forgive. How to forgive.
Well, I want to make sure that people heard right, that you were abused physically and you were also raped by your biological father at the age of 16.
Yes.
And
yes,
I want to slow that moment down, because those are the moments where someone says to themselves, surely this isn't happening to anyone else. This must be only me that this has happened to. And in that moment that it happened to you, you must have felt so alone and so devastated. Can you tell me, can that 16-year-old girl speak to us for a moment and just share with us everything that she thought after that moment, and then tell us how the Lord began to work in your life? Did you even know the Lord at that time?
I did. I was I grew up in church. When I was little, I was in church, and I started playing the keys when I was 12 years old. My grandfather was a pastor. Everybody in my family could play or sing, play an instrument or sing or do both. And so I grew up in church, but it was during this time when the rape and the abuse occurred, that this quiet, very shy woman, young woman, was a virgin and very, very, very angry. I became very angry. I became very defensive. I became very alone, very heartbroken. I would have mental lapses, and when you experience something like that, it messes with your thoughts. It messes with your mental capacity. I mean, your thoughts are going there. You're having mental lapses, and it affects the way you view yourself. It affects the way, you know, you view people and all of these type of things. And so I went through 10 years of learning who I was again, 10 years of trying to find out why, just why. And I'm understanding that with every one of the greatest lessons that I learned throughout all of this is, and this is what the Lord had to teach me, is that every hurt starts from somewhere. A person doesn't just wake up and say, I'm going to be bitter today, or I'm going to hurt somebody today. There is a language that that person has learned over the years. And as long as we hang around that language, we will eventually begin to speak it, and some fluently in it. And so the language of hurt is a language that my father spoke, and I was actually the person that was conveniently in that place for him to release that language to. And so in order for me to forgive him and to see him through the eyes of God, God had to show me the reason. He had to show me the reason for things happening the way they did.
Well, now I'm just going to pause for a little bit because, you know, I always have to ask the practical questions also to make it relatable. Were you living, did this occur in a time and a space, given your family dynamic, where you were able to tell anyone, where legal action was able to be taken to keep you safe, or did you have to continue to kind of keep a mask and a facade on because this person was still in your day-to-day life?
I would have to say it was option number two, because during that time, well, my parents divorced when I was 3, and so I had very little contact or very little building of relationship with my father. And so at the time, I was living with my mother, and I knew that if I had told her what was going on, he would have been 6 feet under, and she would have been in jail. And so for the protection of the both of them, I decided that I was going to put the mask on, and I decided that I was going to continue to play in church on Sunday morning, very unhealthy. Playing in church on Sunday morning with all of this stuff going on the inside of me. So it took me a while to even release and tell anybody what had happened to me.
When did that breaking point come where you, or the safety come where you finally felt that you could tell someone?
That breaking point was, believe it or not, I would have a lot of relapses, and it would take control of my appetite, my physical well-being. I was very sickly at the time, just dealing with a lot of physical issues, a lot of mental relapses, and you can't take but so much. We were not built to carry stuff like that. We were just not meant to carry things like that. And, you know, that's the reason why God tells us, you know, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, because my yoke is easy and my burden is light. In other words, I can handle the burden, but, you know, I didn't create you to operate in that kind of chaos. I designed for you to operate in peace. And so, you know, it took me about 3 or 4 years to really just, you know, that was my breaking point, where I just literally, you know, released to some family members and friends and my mom, you know, letting her know what was going on and what happened to me. And, you know, my husband, we were dating at the time, but my husband, I told him what was going on, and to be able to get it out helped me to be able to face it and confront it. Another thing I realized is the longer we hide something, the more it has victory over us.
Mm.
And so God helped me to understand that I want to deliver you, but until you confront it and until you look at it and say, this is what I want done, this is what I want delivered, this is what I want to be delivered from, until you confront it, deliverance can't take place like it needs to. And so I have to confront it. I have to look at it face to face and say, this has got to stop. And it's been trying to bring self-sabotage to my life for so many years, and I decided that I was going to be healed, and I was going to be healed God's way. Now, this healing did not take place when I went to the altar one Sunday and somebody laid hands on me for one time and I knocked out under the power and I was done. That was not how my healing took place. My healing took place in my heart, where God had to teach me how to get him through the eyes of God and not through the eyes of flesh. That's how my healing took place.
You know, you have a song on your sophomore project, Prophetic Worshipers, called Making Room.
Yes.
And that's what I hear you saying, you know, those things that allow us to broaden our heart, or really it's the Lord doing it, and showing ourselves, even though we might say, well, we're the victim, and we need, he still goes in and shows us our own heart and says, this is what you need to do in order to be free. And so let's
yes.
take a little time and listen to most of that track.
Making room.
making room for you, Jesus. For those of you who have just tuned in, we're listening with Angie Cleveland, and that was her song, Making Room for Jesus, from her CD, Prophetic Worshipper. Lovely, lovely song. And as your book title shows, Now I Know Why I Suffered, you know, a lot of times beautiful things comes from real difficult moments and from the ashes of our lives. Let's talk about the book a little bit. What are some of the names of the chapters that you have in there?
Wow. Some of the names of the chapters that's in the book, one of them is talking about the roots, how there is a family tree, even in the demonic realm, and how one spirit gives birth to another. And I show that in that book, and I use my own personal situation as an example of how rejection can give birth to so many different things, and abuse can give birth to so many different things, and how many times we try to attack the issue by cutting off the branch when we need to go down to the root. And
absolutely.
So a lot of times the root is what is less obvious, but you have one of the chapters. Another one of the chapters is dealing with mostly forgiveness. What is forgiveness? How forgiveness is not for us, but it's not for the person, but it's for us. And at the end of each chapter is a prayer that each reader can pray that kind of goes along with what the chapter is talking about and things that we can apply to our own lives. And those prayers are just like a navigation or just a head start for the reader to use, but you can also build upon that. So that's a lot of what the book is about, is dealing with process and forgiveness and looking at the issue instead of, and you said this earlier, instead of playing the victim,
right.
Looking at it from the standpoint of, okay, this happened to me because they were hurt. Now let's figure out why they were hurt. And let's both heal this generational curse and trying to run rampant in our family for so many years. And so many, many people that are listening, you're just like me. You face a bunch of issues at one time, and you didn't even realize, you know, why was it so overwhelming? It seems like it's one thing after the other, but it could very well be that you are called to be a generational curse breaker in your family. And so it takes us looking at, you know, why did my father do what he did? What language did he pick up? And let's go and take that before God and ask God for his wisdom so that we can fight the enemy instead of fighting him with anger, fight the spirit with wisdom so we'll know how to have the victory.
Well, I can hear people saying right now, what? Why do I have to figure out what they went through? Why do I need to understand their pain? You know, you're so right, because it is something you have to go through. I'm at a good place with my mom now. We have a good relationship. But this is the first time in all of my years that I could say that we came to this place. And part of that process was the Lord having me go and look at her childhood and her siblings and things that she went through in order to give me at least an understanding. To be honest, at first I got the understanding, but I still didn't have the compassion. So I was like, okay, I get it. I see. She went through X, Y, Z. Okay. But the compassion didn't come right away. But would you agree that why it's important is that at least you need to start with at least the mental understanding of where that person is themselves, even before God on the planet, and then the Lord can continue to develop you to the place where you have the compassion and those things. Is that the way it worked for you?
Yes. Yes, I do believe that. Okay, the mind of the flesh, whenever we're dealing with forgiveness, and there's another book that I'm writing right now, and it's called Love, the Greatest Force Ever. That revelation changed my life forever. And it's a deeper revelation of forgiveness. And God has been teaching me about how compassion, whenever, okay, say for instance, we're in situations like this where we're learning how to forgive people, and once we receive the wisdom on how to look at that passion, it's not always there because we're still looking at them through the eyes of offense. And God has been teaching me how, and this one thing that really he helped me with big time, because God told me that sin is sin. Sin is sin, which means that my father raising me, okay, is in the same instance a person that lied on somebody. His eyes, it is the same. And I said, Lord, and we have a tendency, because I do this a lot, I have to catch myself with this, we have a tendency to rank sin. And we have a tendency to say, okay, this person did this, and so they deserve more punishment. Mm-hmm. And so, but really, all sin is the same. And I believe, this is just my personal belief, that fear is the root to all sin.
Mm.
And the reason why we sin is because we're afraid that God's word is not strong enough to hold us in situations. And so I believe that the reason why it's so easy, real, that God does not hear our prayers, that God is not going to answer, that he is not faithful, that he is not just, that he is not true. And his job, the enemy's job, is to convince us that God is a lie. And so I believe that fear is the root to all sin. And in order for me to confront and face my fears, I must receive the love of God. Because the Bible says, love casts out all fear. And he says to us in 2 Timothy 1 and 7, he says, God didn't give me the spirit of fear, but he gave me power, he gave me love, and he gave me a sound mind. And so even in this time, even as we are all coming through different situations, even as we are all facing different challenges, if I embrace that I am loved by God, and that God is my father, and that God covers me, and that he loves me, then it helps me to be able to deal with the fears that I face on a daily basis. Because one reason why it's hard to forgive people is because we have placed our value and our worth inside of other people. We have placed our value and our worth inside of the person that did us wrong, instead of our value and our worth being founded upon Christ. And so it's so very easy to operate in fear. And though we feel fear, we have to continue to embrace the truth that God loves us.
Absolutely. You know, you're hitting on two things right on the head. First, I want to give some context for our listeners, because I know we have those who, you know, are walking with the Lord, don't know him yet. And the Word of God says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and that our best work is as filthy rags before him, because God is pure holiness. There is no sinfulness in him. So the slightest thing, if someone puts a little arsenic in your water, you're still going to die. It's arsenic. It's going to kill you. And in the Old Testament, it gave the example with the Ten Commandments. You know, if you broke one, you were guilty of breaking them all. And so they're linked. It's connected. So in the sense to say that, well, I just tell these little white lies sometimes, and he actually killed someone. Well, we all need the same saving grace and the same forgiveness of God. And I always take the time in the show to say Romans 10:9-10, that if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, you shall be saved. Once that happens and the Spirit of God lives within you, you can actually begin to allow the healing that we're talking about tonight to start to occur in your life. And you're also correct with the fear. And I had to check myself on that just last night. So that's why I'm saying you are hitting it on
the head.
Wow. Sometimes we don't even realize we're functioning in fear because we say things that sound like it's not fear. We say, well, you know, this is just wisdom, you know, or this is just being real. Let's look at the society we live in, you know.
Right.
We see it coming up in our parenting and how we handle our finances. Fear is at the bottom of a lot of what we're doing instead of faith. And the scripture is very clear that if you're functioning in fear instead of faith, you are functioning in sin. And so, yeah, made that point very strong and clear. I wanted to ask you, you said while you were in college and you started this healing process, you were dating the person who's now your husband. And I wanted to get a little sense of how he played a part or role, or how did you handle that? Because when you're talking about something that happens to you of an intimate nature, it can become difficult to learn how to be intimate again with someone. So how did that process work?
Yes, I'm sorry, you went in and out, but you were asking about
how does that process work in terms of learning to be intimate with someone? And I'm not talking about physically while you guys were dating, but just the emotional intimacy, and then later on when you're married, the physical intimacy, how the process and the healing happen.
Yes, I understand. One of the things that I had to understand is that everybody is not my enemy. And that's what helped me to be vulnerable, I guess you'd say. Because when you experience something like that, your guards are automatically up, your walls are automatically up, and you become very defensive. And you begin to form the mentality that everybody is against you and that you have to protect yourself and that everybody that is coming to you has an agenda, that everybody that's coming to you has an ulterior motive. And so what God had to help me do, not only with my fiancé at the time, but also with people in general, is to allow myself to be vulnerable. One of the things that God said to me that really, really just allowed my heart to be softened, because I had developed a hard heart, is to understand that I am worthy of love. He told me that you are worthy of love. And so knowing that God is a loving God, God desires for me to have, and not just me, but everybody, he desires for us to have people who are around us who have our best interest at heart, people that really desire for us to be the best us that we can possibly be, that helped me to kind of gain emotional stability, is to understand that I am loved by God and that because I am loved by him, that he will provide people that have my best interest and people that will give me the opportunity to heal in front of them without them judging who I am as a person.
Mm. Yeah, and I would also say, thinking about another song on your CD project, is the covenant relationship, because sometimes you are isolated first, and there aren't those people around you. And part of that is because of what you might be emoting, because of what you think in your mind and all these things. But if you have come into covenant with the Lord first and create that intimate relationship with him, as that builds, he'll start to bring people back into your life who can build you up and strengthen you. So we're just going to listen to that song right now.
If you
title of your book, Now I Know Why I Suffered. And mm-hmm. when we're going through, we don't want to hear at the moment that, you know, down the road we'll have the ability to comfort someone else, to lift up someone else. Tell people about what you're doing in your life right now, what God has you doing, and how he's using that same pain and hurt to help the healing process in others.
Oh, my goodness. What an awesome thing it is to be able to be on the other side of your challenge and tell people who are in it that you can come out of it. That is one of the greatest things. And one of the things that God is I'm so privileged and honored of the Lord that he would allow me, because I really do have a heart for people. And my husband and I are actually pastors. And we make ourselves available to the people, and countless times have we sat in the office and just had people who were struggling with issues to be able to release that and to literally be looked at as being a safe place for people to release mm-hmm. that to. That alone is an honor, and we don't yes. take that for granted at all. And so being able to share with people the things that, you know, that we've come through and the challenges, and to be able to tell them, you know, this is where the Lord has brought us from. And because God is no respecter of persons, as you said earlier, God can do the same thing for you as he did for us. And so, you know, being able to release that to them, and also one of the things that are near and dear to my heart is a course that I started teaching. I created the curriculum for it, and the name of it is called the Purpose Course. And it is a course that I started in 2008, and we've been continuing to teach this course, but it's talking to people and helping people to understand that you are alive for a reason, that there is something on the inside of you that the enemy does not want you to see, and he wants to steal your identity. He wants you to be a clone of someone else and not be original. Mm-hmm. And what we learn about purpose is that with purpose, I learned that in order to find my purpose, there are two things that drive me to my purpose, and one of them is my passion. What am I passionate about? What can I do that I can sacrifice my time for it, that I could be tired but still enjoy doing it? And then number two, what makes me frustrated the most? Because a lot of times our frustrations drive us into our purpose, because our purpose is basically God's solution to solve an issue in the earth. And so God took what I went through and used it to help people come out and find out who they are. And so in the Ministry of a Broken Key, as well as Prophetic Worshiper, the bridge in between that, Broken Key was my process, and Prophetic Worshiper is my purpose. And so the Lord had to take me through the process and show me, okay, this is why the enemy attacked you, and this is the reason why. It's like, Lord God, I'm getting really excited talking about it, because many times we thank God for the victory, but we don't always ask him for the interpretation of the attack. Why uh-huh. were you attacked? Why were you attacked? Because there's mm-hmm. something in you that the devil does not want to get out to God's people. That is the reason why. And so I get excited when we talk about purpose, because that is one of the most passionate things that is near and dear to my heart, that God is helping me to get to other people and breaking free from the past and the lies of the enemy helps us to be able to find our purpose even the more.
Right, and I know those who are listening, our show is usually 60 minutes, but we're just going to push it just a little longer, because I think there's so much here that's valuable and worth listening to and worth hearing. So I'm going to go into highest praise, and when we come back, we're going to find out a little bit more about what the Lord's doing with you right now.
Don't Give Up Radio Show with Jackie Wayans. Inspiration through word and song for you.
All right, this is Don't Give Up Radio. I'm your host, Jackie Wayans, and we're in bonus round. If you like us and you have to go, I want you to just make sure you stop by at our Facebook page, that Don't Give Up Radio. Don't leave that part up off and just give us a little like there. Or you can find me at on Twitter, Jackie Wayans, J-C-Q-U-I-E, by the way. Wayans, just like the Wayans brothers. Okay, and I noticed we have a caller on the line. Caller, did you want to say a few words?
Yeah, okay. This is Mr. Searles. This is Andy's manager.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Yeah, you were the first person I spoke to, and you shared with me a bit about her story, and I thought, my goodness, this is just what this show is about. So thank you so much for the role that you play in her ministry.
Oh, no problem.
Wonderful. So, Angie, that song is so full of joy. It's so full of praise. It's, you know, far away from the young girl that was devastated and didn't have a sense of identity. So who are you now when you wake up in the morning and you look in the mirror? What do you see? What do you hear?
Wow. I see a woman who is first and foremost loved by God. And I still don't understand the fullness of the understanding of his love in that way toward me, but I am so happy that he loves me, and I want to be able to share that love with other people. That is the whole reason why I do what I do, is because I want his love and his heart to come out to people. And so when I wake up in the morning, I see somebody who has been given an opportunity to live. Just an opportunity to live, and you know, the things that God has given me and the avenues that he's given me to share his heart with people, I'm just humbled and honored, and I count it as a privilege that God would give me the opportunity to steward it for him.
Speak to someone right now who could be listening, and they don't see that as their ending. They don't even think it's possible. Can you reach back and give them a word of encouragement that might get them through another day, another week?
Absolutely. I want to encourage the listener who feels like you have a loss of identity. I want to challenge your faith, and I want you to see, I want you to hear these words of affirmation. First, God says that you are fearfully and wonderfully made. That's number one. Number two, it is always the enemy's job to tell you the opposite of who you are. So whenever you are faced with lies and you are being told that you are not good enough, that you'll never come out of this, that you're always going to be in a struggle, that you're always going to be dealing with the same issue, that is the enemy talking, because he knows that if you could get just a glimpse of who God says you are, that you will overcome the temptation to quit. And number three, I want you to know that just as God loves you, and just as you feel as if you're in a time of transition, I want you to know that God not only loves you, but he is pulling for you. The Bible says in Romans 8 that the Spirit of the Lord makes intercession for us with moanings that cannot be uttered. And so there is a host of angels. There is a holy standby, our wisdom, our guidance. He is interceding for you even now, even as you are in a time of transition, even as you are in a time where you feel like you cannot move forward. There is a God, there is a Holy Spirit that is interceding for you, and there is a people that are waiting on you, because there are some things that God has called you to do that he's going to use this issue to be the launching pad for your ministry. And I thank God in advance for your eyes coming open and you coming to yourself and you seeing who God says you are and not even who you thought you were.
That is absolutely amazing and true. I have a Sunday school student who was battling with some things, and mm-hmm. she was
but hear a classmate make a joke, and mm-hmm. she was able to read right through it that she wasn't joking, and pull her to the side and say, hey, are you thinking this? And because of that, you know, prayers were able to go up for that person. So because mm-hmm. of what we go through, we can see differently, we can hear differently, and yes, there are
yes.
people who are waiting on you to get through so that you can make a difference in their lives. Tell the people where they can find you and get your materials.
Absolutely. I am on ReverbNation.com, and you can also go to my website, AngieCleveland.com. I am on Facebook as Angie Cleveland, and also Facebook as Angie Cleveland Ministries. I am on Twitter. I am on Instagram. So I can be found in different places. So, but that's how you can connect with me.
And you said you're going to be touring internationally. Where exactly are you going to be going?
We're going to be going to Torino, Italy, in the next week and a half. So we're very excited about that.
That is exciting. Well, may the Lord be with you in your travels, and I pray that you'll be able to touch many hearts, and many will be delivered and freed because of what you're sharing. So thank you so much for being my guest this evening.
Thank you so much for the opportunity. I appreciate it.
All right. We're going out. I want you to remember to be your own best hero, because the greatest hero of all gave his life for you. That means you're worth it.
Don't Give Up Radio Show with Jackie Wayans. Inspiration through word and song for you.
So your world is torn apart, and you're left with a broken heart, and you feel that there's no real healing inside. Oh no, but this I know.